This is episode number 359 with Steve Cook.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
What's up, everyone? Thanks so much for tuning in today. And did you guys see the big announcement? That's right. The big announcement. We released half of the speakers' names on Summit of Greatness. That's right. We've got a ton of people already signed up from all over the world who are going to be flying into the heart of it all, Columbus, Ohio, to attend the first annual Summit of Greatness event. This is for people that want to reach their ultimate human potential. This is for people that want to connect with other like-minded individuals and that want to build lifelong relationships. This is for those that want to connect with some of the most inspiring speakers and influencers in the world. Summitofgreatness.com. Do you guys have your tickets yet? If not, the ticket price is going up this weekend, so make sure to sign up right now. Go to summitofgreatness.com and check out all of the incredible speakers. I think four of the five are New York Times bestselling authors. We've got TV personalities. We've got billionaires. We've got world-class individuals in business, relationships, lifestyle, spirituality. Go check out who the speakers are. Summitofgreatness.com. I don't want to spoil it for you right now, but go to summitofgreatness.com. Check out the speakers and get your ticket today. Now, just recently, I met this guy, Steve Cook, and let me tell you something. Steve is an incredible human being. Steve is one of the most recognizable faces in the fitness industry today. He is best noted for being an IFBB Pro men's physique competitor, Optimum Nutrition and Bodybuilding.com spokesmodel, an international fitness personality, as well as the founder of Swolger Nation. That's right. Let's get swole. He is also the third person ever to obtain his men's physique pro card, first ever men's physique competitor to qualify for the Mr. Olympia, and so much more. The guy is also a super positive individual. He's got over 1 million people that follow him on Instagram, over 500,000 on YouTube, almost 1 million on Facebook, and he has just built an amazing empire online. And that's some of the things that we're going to talk about today is really how he built such a huge social media following that doesn't also control and consume his entire life so he can still have a life. We dive into masculinity and talk about his definition of masculinity, and it was, in my opinion, the most beautiful way I've ever heard someone define masculinity. I really loved it. So make sure to listen to that and share that, tweet that part out. We also dive into how to course correct when you feel anxiety or overwhelm in your personal life, in your business life, when you're building something. Steve talks about why he's looking for a girlfriend and also why he won't go on The Bachelor show. Also, the importance of balancing multiple different platforms when building your following and growing your business, why that's so important. We talk about that and so much more on today's episode 359. Make sure to follow along and share this with your friends right now, lewishouse.com/359. Watch the full video interview also over there, all the show notes. You can connect with Steve and check out all the clickable tweets to share out with your friends, all the great quotes that Steve talks about in this interview. Without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only Steve Cook.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got the legendary Steve Cook in the house. Good to see you, man.
Good to be here. Legendary. That's an amazing intro.
That's good, right? Yeah. We just met recently through Steve Weatherford, who we just had on recently as well. And I think I'd heard about you maybe a year or something ago, seen you on bodybuilding.com or some fitness thing. I was like, this guy kind of looks like a douche. But I don't like to judge people until I actually meet them. So I was like, let me meet this guy someday and see what he's really like. And then Steve told me to connect and come out and have lunch with you. And I kind of forgot that I thought about that a year ago or whatever.
I like
But then I met you. I was like, yeah, man, this guy's a really good dude.
And don't get me wrong. We still do douchey things because I like to say, you know, there's that certain – there's feeding apple – I always like to say, like, the people that follow me, you know, we hide the peas and the carrots in the applesauce.
Right, exactly.
So in this day and age, there is a certain level of douchiness, I think, that people – you know, and we make fun of it.
Yeah,
we have a good time with it, but that's funny.
That's cool. Well, you've got like shirts that say that too, right?
Yeah, so gym douche. Snapchat, we talk about gym douche. I get a really awesome voice and we start talking like this, like pretty much a dodgeball.
Dwight I like Goodman. It. I like it, man. How did you get started in the whole fitness world? You know, you've got this huge audience. You've got millions of followers all over the world. Face of bodybuilding.com. You've got huge supplement deals, sponsorship deals, blown up on YouTube. How did this all begin? Were you always like a fit dude or did you start off skinny and say, I need to, you know, get big?
I don't have a cool, like, transformation story like a lot of people do. I was one of seven kids in Idaho growing up, and my dad was a high school athletic director and basketball coach. So I was kind of in the middle of those seven kids, and I had a lot of energy. I was a troublemaker. So my dad, from the very get-go, instead of, you know, maybe other parents don't know how to discipline, it's like, you know, I'm going to work them today. So we were going to the track. Yep, we'd go to the track if I wanted to watch TV. 50 push-ups every commercial from the time I was like 8, 9, 10. Yeah.
That's a nice dad to put you through that.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't think he was nice. But, you know, now I'm very grateful for that. And I think for me, it was one of those things that I naturally had a capacity for that kind of stuff as well. And I took to it really well. Like, I remember my older brother working out. I was in eighth grade. He was a senior. And I benched more than him because, you know, I liked doing the push-ups. I didn't mind it. My dad saw that. So I think he kind of pushed me into that. But, you know, there was some natural love of it too.
Sure. Okay. When did you start really lifting?
Really lifting? Probably I can remember being fifth, 10, 11
years old.
Yeah.
That's
10 or
11. Young.
It was young. And everyone used to always say, you know, it would stunt your growth and this and that. But I started off doing the body weight stuff. So push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I could, you know, the next step was just evolving into machines.
Right.
And
the bar or whatever.
And then the bar.
That's cool, man. And what sports were your main sports in middle school, high school?
Football was always my best sport. Yeah. I was a football, baseball, basketball guy. And then in high school, I dropped baseball and did track for football. But I always wanted, you know, my dad was a basketball coach, brother, sister, good basketball players. I always wanted to be a better basketball player. I was the guy who came in and I fouled people and rebounds and it was what it was.
I like it. You're just the intimidator.
Yeah.
I like it. And one of the fun facts that we found out about you, you have to tell me if this is a myth, that you eat Chipotle four times a week.
Where are these? I mean, I'm sure there are weeks. I definitely don't. Like these days, Chipotle four times a week would not be more. Right now, it's Chick-fil-A, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I got this. I just love Chick-fil-A. There's one close to my place, and I probably stop there. I know the macros and the meal that I get, and it's part of my daily diet.
Really?
Pretty much.
Uh-huh. Dude, Chick-fil-A, I haven't had in probably 6 years. I would eat that every week when I was playing arena football in Huntsville, Alabama. We would get like essentially like food stamps to play.
Really?
Yeah, they would give us like free
they
meals.
Chick-fil-A.
They'd pay us in Chick-fil-A and this barbecue joint that we'd eat, and then Firehouse Subs, I remember.
Really?
Chick-fil-A, we'd have like we'd be like trading, you know, the food stamps for like the other like give me your Chick-fil-A for the barbecue.
That is awesome.
But we would get that, put the little hot sauce on it, man. It was so good.
I love me.
I haven't
some
had
Chick-fil-A.
It in a long time. It's hard to think about that. It's actually healthy for you.
Yeah, I stick with the grilled chicken sandwich. And I do a side of grilled nuggets, and you know, and I know it's
not organic.
Yeah, no, it's not. But you know, again, it's quick, it's easy, my lifestyle right now, as much as I'm traveling, it kind of fits. So,
yeah,
but yeah, definitely. I always, you know, if it was organic, maybe that's one thing we tell Chick-fil-A: get some organic.
I think they're supposed to do something. I think Bonnie Hari, a friend of mine, is a food activist, and she got Chick-fil-A to change something. Maybe it's hormones or something, and like the next few years they're changing out of it. But
it sounds like I've heard something about that.
Yeah,
too.
So we'll see. So when did you realize? So you played football at Dixie State, is that right?
Dixie State College in Southern Utah.
All 4 years you finished, or did you stop after?
So no, I played. So I started off at Boise State. It was a gray shirt there, and I didn't go to class.
A gray shirt. What is that?
A gray shirt. They don't even gray shirt people anymore.
What is that?
So you're not actually, your clock hasn't started with the NCAA yet. I was a walk-on, preferred walk-on. I was a running back in high school, and I didn't have the quicks for a running back in college. So I was going to try to play linebacker. Mm. They wanted me to gray shirt, came on, and, you know, as a freshman, you don't have anyone really caring about you.
No,
you're a walk-on. And I stopped going to class, ended up transferring to a place called Snow College in Ephraim, Utah. Like, my cell phone didn't work there. Turkeys, they had turkey farms, and it was an interesting place. I actually cried the first night I moved into my place there. I'd never been before, and I saw it. My cell phone wasn't working.
You're like,
wrong
decision.
Yeah.
How long did you stay there?
So I was there for a year and a half, and then ended up transferring to Dixie State Division II school. They were a junior college. When I went there, they did first year being Division II, and we were awful. But I played all 3 years. Yeah, I started all 3 years. You know, I was able to make captain my senior year, but I think we probably won 4 games.
Okay.
Over the course of 3 years.
Right. But, man, that's the worst when you just lose every game. It's the worst feeling.
I'd never been I don't think I'd ever had a losing record in any of the sports teams until I got there. And, you know, I learned a lot, but it was definitely hard.
It's hard to break out of that. You know, I've been on championship teams and then teams that just sucked as well. And it's hard to change the momentum to defeated every week to being inspired and excited and motivated to train harder to win. If you're not winning, it's really hard to just change that mindset that you can win.
Mm-hmm. Both are habits, I think. You know, when you win, it's a habit, like, and you expect it, and when you lose, it's the same.
The challenging thing is with a team sport, you can't really control everyone else's mindset. You can, for moments, inspire and lead by example and rally people around you, but it's got to be a collective team that has the mindset. And the coaches.
And the coach. And the coach. I agree with that. And I think that, you know, we had some good guys on the team. There was no real unity.
Yeah.
And I think it starts with the coach.
Challenging. Okay. So after school, what happened after school? Did you just like this heartthrob ripped dude that just said, I'm going to be a fitness professional? Or what was the vision after that?
I was married in college.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's some Idaho stuff right there.
Idaho and Utah.
That's it,
you know,
man.
Like I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends married and have kids, you know.
No way.
I was married at 21 to
at
a girl.
Dixie State.
At Dixie State. So I went through college two of the 4 years married. Girl I dated in high school, and we kind of dated on and off for the first 2 years of college, and then got married, and then we moved back to Boise together. And then what happened is she was a nurse. I didn't graduate at the time when I moved back, so still a few credits short, working at Texas Roadhouse. And I was a waiter there, yep. And kind of trying to figure out, you know, think about going to chiropractic school. I had a little school tryout with the Titans. It didn't pan out, and then I fractured my ankle and just kind of gave up on that. It was tough because that's your identity.
That's it, man. It's your life.
And you know
that. You don't
think
about anything else.
You don't.
After football, it's like, oh, let's just keep going
and
see how far we can go.
You know, you're going to school, and you're not really thinking about what you want to do because you're hoping this football thing pans out.
You're not studying.
No.
you don't care about class.
Yeah, and you just do it for football.
That's
you know?
It, man. It's the only reason I went to school.
100%. And then so I get back. We get back to Boise. I'm working as a waiter. I'm about, 12 credits short. She's a nurse. Relationship, it was tough. She was the breadwinner, and they ended up stepping out on our marriage. And we ended up getting divorced, but it was probably a big wake-up call for me as well. I went back down to Dixie State, finished my degree, did it for me, didn't have to do it for football or anything else, right. And got for the first time, I think, really felt good about where I was at. And at the time, I was going to school, taking 16 credits, working at Texas Roadhouse back down in St. George, prepped for one of my very first bodybuilding competitions. Like it was a spokesmodel search for muscle and fitness.
No way.
At the Mr. Olympia contest in Vegas. And
you heard about it online? Are you reading the magazine? Or
magazine and online. It was a big one. Like 250 guys entered it in. And, I never worked that semester. I lived in my grandparents' house because they didn't live there. This was before iPhones, and I didn't have the internet at their house, and I'd go to work, I'd go to school, and then I'd prep. My whole life was structured. I never worked so hard, and I never learned so much about myself in that short, 4 or 5 month period of time. Yeah. I ended up winning that muscle and fitness male model search and got in, and from there on, I was like running in the fitness industry and just kind of, there's this men's physique category that was then created after that I participated in, get my pro card in the IFBB. And all along, was working with bodybuilding.com because they're from Boise, Idaho. Mm-hmm. And then Optimum Nutrition, one of the world's largest supplement companies. And I just was given some amazing opportunities to travel around the world and meet people at expos, started a YouTube channel, and just kind of just been running ever since with it.
What year was this? How old were you?
This would have been 2010. So
when you won the fitness search.
I was probably 24, 25.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 24, 25.
And you've just been kind of trying to figure it out ever since then. How do I maximize this opportunity and maximize the next one and
100%.
Build it? Wow.
And, it wasn't always something, I was always told there's no money in the fitness industry, and which is, true in a lot of ways. The big bodybuilders make a lot of money. But now, when Men's Physique was created a couple of years ago, supplement companies started realizing that people love that attainable look.
As opposed to the bodybuilding look,
the massive, the big, massive muscles. Yeah. So, and that was kind of where I started off, but me growing up as an athletic, an athletic family wanting to be an athlete, my training has kind of gotten back to that. And now I'm trying anything and everything and really focusing in more on the YouTube. Competing is no longer something I really focus in because it's selfish at the end of the day. It served its purpose for me. I for the longest time, my goal was to be Men's Physique, Mr. Olympia.
And how many categories are there in the Olympia?
For men's, there's two right now. There's bodybuilding and men's physique. Yep. And
did this physique thing come out?
It came out about 2011.
Also after you.
Yeah, after I won
the search.
The search. The search actually was kind of the launch pad for this category, men's physique, that's now taken off and in the bodybuilding world. And at the same time, social media came about, and we all know Instagram and Facebook, everyone loves posting meals and their fitness. Nobody goes to the gym anymore without taking a selfie at the gym. So it's like it kind of was a perfect storm. And I felt like that's the only reason I really have a good social media following is because people liked, the kind of that process.
Seeing the daily story, the journey.
Yeah. So,
how long you've been competing for a number of years? Like, would it be twice a year you compete in a competition type of thing? Or what was this?
Yeah, I didn't compete as much as a lot of the other guys because I knew that I wanted to win Mr. Olympia, but I knew that was a stepping stone. There's other things I wanted to do. Part of that included LA. Part of that included clothing, supplements, and maybe even one day acting. Mm. But I think that at the heart of it is I like being at expos. I like meeting people. I like doing YouTube
and acting with people. Yeah.
Yeah. And that to me goes so much further than anything else. And, I come from, like I said, 7 kids. None of them really are in the fitness world. So, it's not something that I get so caught up in. Like, I know there's a lot of people that compete that really get caught up in it. But I have a really great family that I feel like has always kind of kept me grounded and seeing a bigger picture with everything. And so that's kind of where I'm at now.
That's cool, man. How many events are you doing a year right now? Expos.
Yeah, that's a lot. Probably 12 to 14. So
one
this year, yeah, just about. This year we've done places like India, we started off with in January. Obviously, LA, the Arnold in Spain, Ohio, China, Sweden, Australia, So it's a trip seeing the world. You know, a lot of the expo halls look the same, so it doesn't matter where I'm at. But the people, the people that come up and say, Steve, I watched your YouTube, or I lost 30 pounds doing this program on bodybuilding.com, or, you know, that's what, to me, I'm like, you know what, this is really what it's about. And I don't know, I just, I love, it gives me tingles when people start telling me stories like that. And and now being in LA, I want to grow that to a bigger platform and try to really take that to a bigger audience.
Sure, even. Sure. I want to transition into a topic about masculinity.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of men, I'm assuming mostly men that follow you. Or
78%.
78%.
Roughly.
On the Instagram, now that you can see the stats.
On the Instagram. That was one of the best things. Right? Yeah.
So about 80%. And they all, what do they want? They want to look like you. They want to be more manly. Do they want to have bigger muscles? Like, what is their goals?
You know, and I think it really depends on, I think, age too. But I think everyone starts off wanting to be bigger and stronger that follows me. And I was that same kid at 18, 19 years old. I wanted to be big and strong. And I, again, that's where we get back to the applesauce and the peas and the carrots. So you give them that. And it's, again, it can be a little bit douche. You're in the gym doing bicep curls and things like that. Then you lead them into more health and you start talking about why we're doing these types of things, being functional, nutrition, you know, and what being in the gym, what it really should be about, and how you can pretty much take that struggle in the gym and apply it to other areas of your life, which is kind of what I did with the whole divorce in my life. But that's where, you know, that's my demographic. And I think they want, you know, yes, they want to look better. They want to be bigger. I think also they want acceptance. At the end of the day, they want people to look at them and really, it's like nothing, you know, I want to create a community where, you know, because really people go to the gym a lot of the times for insecurities. That was myself, you know, at the time of my divorce, I didn't really have a lot going for me. I knew I could control what happened in the gym and it made me feel good. Exercise released endorphins, where I didn't have a lot of other things feeling good in my life at the time. So I think, you know, the gym is, I've seen a lot of great things that it can come from in just leading to health. Now, there's a point where you care about yourself too much. You care about your appearance too much. It's you, and you stop worrying about everyone else in your life that, you know, there's that balance. And I've also been that person.
How do you handle that?
Yeah.
You know, because you've got to post constantly to stay engaged with your audience, to build your following. You can't just post once every 2 weeks. You
got
to post daily, all over the place.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
How do you stay grounded and, you know, not selfish looking or whatever,
right?
But also come from a giving place?
That is a great question, because it seems like the more selfish you are sometimes in our day and age on social media, like look at me, shirtless selfies, this and that, more people are going to follow you and things like that.
Yeah, it's got to get you more engagement.
Right.
Right.
So I think that there is a, getting back to that certain amount of, you can call it douchiness or whatnot, that is – you know, you bring people in, you kind of, and then it's like, why are they going to stay following?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, there's people I'll follow, I kind of see what they're about. If they're great, I keep following. If not, if I don't like the message that they're portraying, I unfollow them. And for me, that's what it's always been about. You know, there's, you know, and it's rotating things on a scheduling of posts where you're talking more, you know, you get deeper in some posts. You talk about, you know, other people that are doing great things in other areas. You know, books that I like, and you try to make it, you know, and some people will appreciate that, others won't. Some people just always want to see fitness stuff, but I can't do that because I'm not being true to myself then. But I think people respect that in the long run, and then they're a following that's really engaged and care about you rather than just, you know, how you're looking and things like that.
What was your biggest insecurity after the divorce?
After the divorce, probably my biggest insecurity is that I wasn't working hard enough. Like, that, you know, I couldn't succeed because I was no longer a football player. I didn't know how to be successful in anything else. I kind of felt like I didn't really have a lot of, you know, I never took school super serious. There was nothing besides sports that I was ever successful in. And it was my biggest insecurity that there was something wrong with me, that, you know, I was going to be that way forever, that I didn't have any other talents to give to people other than playing sports. But again, that's something that I think a lot of people go through in their early 20s, figuring out who they are. But it was a big part of my life, and going through that then, I think really, now that I'm in my 30s, now that I'm 31, it's hard to say that, you know, kind of went through those things to figure out and be more secure now.
What do you say is your biggest security right now then?
Insecurity right now?
Okay. Or do you have any?
Oh no, I definitely got insecurities. Biggest insecurity right now, I would say, just there's times that I feel like I could lose, and again, you have that fear of failing in life still, but that everything you've built up could be taken away, or all of a sudden you wake up tomorrow and you know, Instagram's not around or something, and all of a sudden you don't have this following. And again, it's like the same thing with football. What do you have left? So I'm trying to make sure that there's balance in life, and there's something more that can be, you can attach your name to other than just social media accounts.
Right. Okay. What do you think's missing in your life?
Missing? Probably right now, 100% I can say this, and I think you know what I'm going to say, is a relationship, like, you know, with a girl. Is, you know, I'm not currently dating anyone. And I think for me, it's good to kind of take a step back and focus in on what I'm doing, but also what do I want to see in myself to then be a better partner for somebody in the future, because I'm not getting any younger.
what's the ultimate dream girl? Who is she?
You know, and that has evolved over the years. It's funny because when I was 22, 23, the girls that I was like, I think I would like to date her, it's changed now.
Yeah.
And I immediately think about, you know, is this person potentially a good mom? You know, does she have her own things that she likes and has going for her? You know, when before, you know, I would have been fine with a girl that just, you know, look good and wanted just to go work out with me at the gym. You know, now it's, I want her to be somebody who's educated, has views on other things, you know, politically in the world today that means something, also has a spiritual side to her as well, that has something that, you know, has a moral compass.
Sure. Sure. Interesting. Why is it hard for you to find that?
Time.
I feel like girls would be all over you right now.
It's time right now. Just on the road constantly. And again, there's that, when you're concentrating on, you know, trying to build a business like I am.
That's your girlfriend, man.
Yeah.
That's your baby.
It really is. There's not really any place. I don't go out and drink at clubs in LA. I'm living here, but when I'm here, it's work. When I want to relax between trips or LA, I go back and I spend it with family, because family's huge to me, family and really good friends. So unless they're like, hey, I have this great girl I want to set you up with, you know, there's not many Snapchats I'm opening, or, you know, the girls that are super forward, I tend to kind of shy away from. Yeah.
Yeah. So, not the girls at the expos probably aren't the ideal.
Yeah. I think, again, the expo scene is very competition related, and I want to find a girl who loves fitness, you know, maybe even into yoga, you know, holistic nutrition, things like that. Somebody that has that aspect to them, maybe doesn't necessarily, you know, work for a supplement company as a living, just to kind of offset some
what
of what
you
I do.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Okay. What do you think it's going to take from you to create that in your life?
Dedicate time and resources to, and again, that comes back to sitting down and actively trying to find, whether it's, you know, going to a church group that has, you know, young people there, or, you know, even I have not, and I refuse to create an online dating account. You know, I'm not on Tinder.
Right, right.
I think there's one called Bumble.
Yeah, there is. I'm not on any of these. I got off them, but
that's right. And then
I hear Bumble's good because
it's the girl that
the girl says that they're interested.
I just found out about this.
Get on that one,
Bumble. Okay,
yeah, check it out.
I might have to check out Bubble. Also,
check it out, and then we know in 2 weeks what
happens.
Lined up. Yeah.
Also, friends that are you know, in the plugged into the social scene that have
come do acro yoga with me and my lady someday, and we'll introduce you to some people.
Nice. So I got you now looking out for me. Sean Lowe, a guy that was on The Bachelor a couple years ago, that ended up marrying.
Oh, really?
The one that he picked.
Go on The Bachelor.
You know, him and I were talking about that.
It's not worth it, man.
No, and I'd have to go to The Bachelorette first. Oh, I can, yeah.
A few years ago, they asked me to be The Bachelor.
Really?
And it was like...
You turned it down.
Twice they asked me.
Woo!
Turned it down both times. One, I just think it's like not good for your brand long term.
Yeah.
To do a show like that.
You get pegged as that.
Is there one guy who's been The Bachelor who has created something that actually matters in the world after that?
You know, the only name I can think of is Sean Lowe, and he wrote a book about it. But again, I think, you know, he and his wife now are exploring other areas. But I can't tell. Besides Sean, I don't know a single Bachelor's
Jesse,
name.
Jesse, the guy who's the ESPN analyst.
Oh, yeah, Jesse,
the quarterback dude, or whatever.
Right.
But he, you know, I don't know.
I forgot he was even The Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it was 10 years ago or something. You know what I mean? So, anyways, I was like, let me ask my sisters about this and see what they think. And I called him on the phone. I was like, I just got asked to do this. I was just casted to do this. Should I go do it? And they were like, absolutely not. Like,
really?
Don't be a tool. Like,
I love that.
They were like, no chance. Like, if you do, we'll disown you type of thing.
So do they watch the show?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. But,
for pure entertainment.
Yeah,
they don't want to see their brother
on it. They're like, no way.
I got four sisters, so maybe I should probably get an idea.
They probably wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely want to give it their stamp of approval. But
I'm sure you'd be great. It'd be fun, but... Then you're the Bachelor dude all the time.
Yeah,
You want to be known for something bigger.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want to say this, but I feel like because it's a TV show, it's a reality TV show.
It's so staged, everything
staged, and they're finding
drama,
people that are
crazy,
certifiable.
It's crazy, man. Certifiable. I like it. I want to go back to masculinity because I'm doing research for a book that I'm writing right now called The Mask of Masculinity. And I think you could relate to me growing up as a young man playing sports that, you know, teammates, coaches, society tells us certain things on how to be a man. Tells us to be big and strong, not to cry, not to show emotions, don't be a wuss, don't be all these other names that we use. And I think it affects us. At least it affected me. I'll speak for myself. It affected me and a lot of the teammates that I know in this projection of what it means to be masculine in today's world. And I loved your video for your trailer for your new program that you had that's, you know, closed down right now. The video, what's like warriors, like fighting or something. What was this?
Oh, that's The Modern Physique on bodybuilding.com.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This trailer is unbelievable. We're going to link it up here because I was watching it. I was like, this is unbelievable. This like speaks to me, you know? I want to be a warrior. I want to be all these things. But what is it? What does masculinity mean to you? And do you feel like this industry or your experience has shaped you or hurt you in relationships by living a certain way that's held you back emotionally or something in relationships.
I definitely think the industry, fitness industry I'm talking about, and even, you know, being in LA, you know, everyone here is very, as a man, you need to make a certain amount of money. And this is
drive a certain car.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that as a man, it's something that I've learned, and being from Idaho and having really strong male figures in my life, seeing that, you know, you can be masculine without having to bark orders at people and be this alpha male all the time. I did grow up, my dad's definitely a type A personality, so I have some of that, I think, in me. But I think that there's that spot for, you know, really leading by example and being compassionate. And I think that in today's society, I think the biggest thing, especially on my YouTube channel that we kind of talk about, was we try to get real with people. I did a series called The 22 Things Happy People Do Differently, and I didn't come up with these. They're out there already, but I talked about what they meant for me, and it was trying to get real with people about, you know, breaking down some of these things that you know, you can't really talk about. You're not supposed to talk about as a guy. And I think that really, so many guys come up to me and be like, hey, out of all the videos, the workout videos that I've done, it's like, that 22 things happy people do differently really affected me in my life. And, you know, it's about being positive, and it's about, you know, surrounding yourself with good people. And it's about, you know, it's a different way of looking at things. And I think that there's more, it's good because there's more and more, I think, now that is coming about that, you know, guys can be, there's just a lot more acceptance about whoever you are out there. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a lot of good things going on. But for me, you know, I have great people in my life that aren't, you know, it's the exact opposite of the fitness industry. So I feel like, you know, I'm not really inundated with that. And I have these people in my life when the doors are closed that I really value what they say. And I watch them with their families. You know, a good friend of mine, Dr. Tracy Orr is his name. He definitely is a guy that I look up to, kind of, you know, with his whole family along with my dad, sets the stage that, you know, he leads by example. He's not quick to yell, and very, very easygoing. And that's kind of how I want to be. Lead by example.
Do you feel like as a role model and someone who has a big audience, you have a responsibility to, you know, be your true authentic self? Or do you feel like you have to live up to what they want you to be? Maybe this, I don't know, buff dude is just like,
there's, it's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause there is two sides
of it, man, but
there is two sides of it. You know, you want to be this version of yourself that is the best. And that involves, you know, I want my grandma, my aunts, my mom and dad to look what I'm doing and be proud. That being said, you know, you also have this very worldly vision of what people want you to be. And I feel like if you can have the balance and do both, then, and that's the constant struggle, is that balance, is striving for that balance in life. And it's not really listening to the world. It's not really getting caught up on social media. There's going to be times that all of us fall into that, but it's listening to those who really truly care about you and have your best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. And when they say, you know, that, you know, they've been watching and they like this or that, that's what really makes me feel good.
Yeah. Do you think you need to be big and strong and have a certain physique in order to be masculine?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I grew up watching Bloodsport, John Van Damme, Arnold, Stallone, all those guys. So, you know, I definitely think that, you know, when I think masculine, you know, I think a cowboy, like being from Idaho, I think, you know, those guys that I just mentioned. But I think it's more than that. I think that, you know, being masculine is really putting others first. That's to me, putting others first. Like, that's the ultimate sacrifice.
It's a great example. That's a great definition.
Yeah. And that really, like, as a role.
So it doesn't matter about physique necessarily.
No.
Even though that's what you grew up thinking and
right.
Seeing, like, these big masculine men.
It's a stereotype that we think of. But digging deeper into all those things, when you watch, even when you take those characters, what happened in most of these movies, they
were serving.
They were serving others. They were serving others, and ultimately their needs came second. And I think that's ultimately in my career what I want to do is serve others, because that A is really at the core of happiness, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's at the core of all these guys in my life that I look up to. That's what they're doing, actually.
Wow.
They're putting their family's needs first. They're putting – and again, they're not sacrificing – you know, they're not, they'll say no to things. It's not like you have to be this pushover that says yes to everything. And, and you're giving your time out to everybody else and you don't have any time for the things you love in life, that's what I'm learning. That's what I'm going through right now, that you have to say no to some things.
Say yes to yourself.
Exactly. And then you're better for everyone in your life that really matters, that you then when you do give your time to, it's truly coming from your heart in a place of you wanting to do it rather than just you feel obligated.
I want to dive a little deeper into this. I had a good question, but then I was just so focused on what you were saying.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I'm thinking, like, do you feel like most of the guys that follow you, the young 20s guys, do you feel like most of them feel like they're not a man or masculine unless they have a body type that's certain of size?
Yeah.
Feel like they're less masculine.
I would say they do feel like that. And I'm not going to lie, too. Like, there's times that, you know, I feel like that. The reason, you know, for me, I look at it as more of it's something that I enjoy. I say, you know, your body is an instrument, not an ornament. Like, for the longest time in my career, it was all about how I looked. And I can tell you that shit got so old because you're expected.
Exhausting, too.
It is exhausting. And the darkest times in my life is when I was unhappy with the fact that I couldn't eat perfectly. I was working in Santa Monica at a place called True Food.
Oh, it's a good spot.
It is a great spot. And I was prepping it's great food. And I was prepping for a show, working out twice a day at Gold's Gym, the Mecca. This is about 4 years ago. And I remember working there.
As a waiter?
As a waiter, yeah. I didn't have great relationships with people. I was in LA, didn't know really what I was doing here. You know, I just knew this was the place to make things happen. But I was working there, and, you know, I just remember I was so upset with myself because if I had one bite of something that wasn't on my diet, because I wanted this perfect physique, I wanted to be perfect. And that was just, that's our biggest enemy in life, is just trying to be perfect. So now it's about, like, you know, looking at real health, getting into real health, and how when you functional health, when you focus on that, the look and health aspect kind of takes care of itself. Like, yeah, I might not be 4% body fat, but that's not healthy. What's healthy is, you know, I can be, you know, 6-8% body fat, be healthy, look phenomenal, and really at the end of the day be so much happier.
And then you got to have endurance too. Mm-hmm. 4% body fat, you can't run a mile probably. Right?
No,
like dead.
Yeah, it's just and it's miserable. You're a miserable person to be around because you're tracking every macro, and all of a sudden the things that matter most in life start mattering the least. And, you know, all of a sudden, like, you're so caught up in yourself and being perfect that, like,
for what?
Yeah.
And what are we trying to be perfect
for?
You
get so burnt out.
What's the point of being perfect? Like, why do people strive? Why do you feel like you struggle? We're striving to be this perfect body.
I think because it's natural to want more and more and more. So I think for people, anybody really
to be
better as an athlete, you know, that like you're always improving.
Higher.
Yeah, you can always improve. And I think that all of a sudden, like, you've gotten to, maybe you've won competitions. You know, you're competing in the Mr. Olympia contest. The only way really to get better and better and better is that now you almost have to be perfect in everything that you do. You have to be
exhausting.
It is. And I think about, you know, the people even in the sports world who are almost perfect, and just, you know, it's crazy how much time and effort goes into that. And those people are obviously God gifted in a lot of ways. And I think that they struggle with the balance too. You know, so many ex-athletes, they get done and they just have nothing because they've been trying to be perfect and not taking care of any other areas of their life.
So what advice would you give someone in their 20s or 30s and 40s, a man who is trying to be a better man, and they have this image of masculinity that's focused around their body? What would you say to that they should think about or focus on moving forward?
And I definitely think so. I think the question being, where is the balance in that? You know, because you do need to I think, as a man, be physically fit and healthy. Because I think anyone, man, woman,
Do you think you need to be big to be masculine, or can you be lean and healthy?
You can definitely, I think, be lean and healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think definitely lean and healthy. And again, everyone's body type is you know, there's so many different body types out there. Ectomorph, mesomorph, endomorph. Those are the body types we look at, you know, in the fitness world, and about how easy you are to gain muscle and things like that. But, you know, being a you know, triathlon, that's also masculine. Like, you're able to run, and, you know, I was watching, and I constantly am judging, looking at people's body, being like, oh, that person would probably be good for endurance, or this person would be a great power lifter, or you know. And I think so for men, there's definitely a physical aspect that I think that, but you don't necessarily I don't think that it should matter as much as it does in a lot of cases. You know, masculinity is it's judged so outwardly these days. Where again, if you could get back to what's on the inside, that'll definitely, I think, and it's a society problem too.
Yes,
it's something that I think society ultimately. The epidemic, I say epidemic right now of Instagram is right. Everyone, and that's where people get this idea is I have to be better than this person, I have to be perfect. And it's one of those things that, you know, geez, it's a struggle of mine, but also something that I try to preach to.
Sure.
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this. Assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek, new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technology like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
What's your biggest fear right now?
My biggest fear right now is that I'm getting older. I'm 31 years old.
Look young as heck. You're young, good looking.
Right, but I guess right now, if I had a biggest fear, it would be that I would be. I said right too. No, I was thinking like those things are there, but my biggest fear is that I'm going to. You know, I'm not gonna find somebody to share all these things.
Really,
with.
That's your biggest fear.
Yeah, that, and I think ultimately. Burning out too is a fear of mine. You know, how do you maintain this, you know, pedal to the metal, traveling
the
world?
How long?
Yeah. And what happens when I stop? What happens when you stop going?
Are you irrelevant now? Are you less wanted?
Right. 110% all the time. And all of a sudden you stop. Do people still care type of thing?
What's your vision? What do you want to create in this world?
I would love. So my vision for being in LA is creating a platform that allows people to really experience all different types of fitness. That being on the fitness level, I want to give as much information about fitness and health to as many people out there as possible. And that doesn't just necessarily mean in the gym. I want to better myself, whether it's yoga, surfing. I say surfing because that's something flexibility goes into that, endurance. And then what I want to do with that is my goal with everything is generally making people's lives better by just giving people tidbits on how to improve health, whether it's nutrition. And again, it comes back because it's all tied together, physical, spiritual, mental, it's all tied together. And I think ultimately that is my goal is to help people be more well-balanced in life, starting with, and usually in our day and age, I think with so much out there, the easiest place to start is with your physical yeah, health.
It's the thing we can control or we can focus on every
right.
day. We have the power
mm-hmm.
over our bodies. What's the greatest gift that you haven't discovered yet that you think is going to come out soon?
Oh, wow. That's a good – the greatest gift that I haven't discovered.
The greatest gift inside of you haven't yet fully used that you think is inside of you.
I think it's going to probably get back to when I really give in to not worrying about failure. So the and that will involve doing things that scare me, and really just if I fail, I fail. I guess still have people in my life that love me, but if I don't do those things, if I don't try to do what I'm really truly passionate about, then I'm gonna always regret that. So I think my biggest gift would be to really. I think there's a lot I could give people, whether it's YouTube or you know on a larger platform that involves health and wellness, but also that turns back into more of a spiritual side. Mm. Figuring out, you know, like why do we care about these things? Like what is the purpose? We live in a crazy world right now, and there's definitely I think a spiritual side that is missing in people. Like why? What is the purpose of, you know, why shouldn't we do some of the things that we're seeing in this world? Like, where is your moral compass coming from? And getting back to, you know, genuinely, why are you wanting to be a good human being? And I think that ultimately that's where I want to go with things, whether it's politics. Politics to me right now is such a scary. It's
crazy, right?
Yeah, such a scary thing. So I think that ultimately that's where I want to look at something, and that would be a gift that I think that you do it through love, and you do it through trying to be compassionate and help people understand, you know, because there's a lot of hurt in the world right now. There's a lot of people that feel like, you know, there's so much mistreatment going on, and it can be a scary place. And at the root of it is just love, I think. So I think, you know, loving on a broader scale.
That's good, man. That's good. What are you most grateful for in your life recently?
Oh, definitely most grateful for the ability to, for me and family to connect in a way like good friends, father. Now, growing up, I didn't understand why all, you know, people did a lot of the things they did, you know, whether it was my dad or, you know, I was a stubborn individual, stubborn kid. And I think now that like, I'm most grateful for the people in my life that are close that, you know, that I know that no matter what, I can call up any time of the day. And no matter, you know, how much money or how many Instagram followers, they don't even care. They don't even, my family doesn't really, none of them are on social media.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm most grateful for right now.
That's nice.
Yeah. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm also grateful for right now for the new relationships I think I've, you know, starting to develop in places in LA, because LA is a scary place.
Yeah, man. Especially coming from the Midwest. You know, you never know what you're going to get here.
Yeah. LA is. So I think that, you know, I've definitely been surrounded. It's crazy how the world works, and that like when you think a certain way, you attract other people that think that way too.
Absolutely. What's your daily routine that is a non-negotiable for you every single day that sets you up to become a better man?
That's a great question. And I'm going to say that I'm inherently a people pleaser. So my day, the reason when I start getting unorganized and feel anxiety in my life, it's because I'm sacrificing things that really matter to me and that other people need my time. So I'm going to sacrifice something I really want and need to do, whether it's meditating, working out, preparing meals, getting enough sleep, going to church, traveling less, whatever it is. And I say church, a spiritual side. You know, I haven't actually been to a church in a while, because I've been traveling so much. But I think that, you know, one thing that I don't want to be negotiable is on the days is wake up, meditate, put the phone away, only answer emails from a certain time. And that organization is ongoing for me right now, finding out, you know, because it's hard when I'm in LA and I'm not traveling. I want to get so much work done.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to get burnt out because I'm giving away all this time, phone calls, emails. And at the end of the day, it's like, how do I better myself and in turn better my brand and grow? And that usually happens when you're in your creative mindset early on in the morning. So meditating right now, making sure I'm working out, because that is what, you know, that's such a large part of my brand. So the minute I'm no longer physically healthy because of all this traveling and poor eating, then I feel like a fraud on social media, on YouTube. I feel like I'm 100%, you know, not living what I'm preaching. And that's hard for me. So starting to say no to things, making sure that I feel good about my life, so that I feel like I'm being a asset to people, and I'm able to practice what I preach.
Mm, that's cool. Okay, so if it could be a perfect day for you, what would be the four or five things you'd do every morning before you do anything else?
Yeah, so I've recently started meditating.
Right?
Yep, meditating before I, you know, try to leave the phone, wake up, meditate, stretch. being somebody who's always been in the gym playing sports, I never stretched enough.
Yeah,
and
I wish I was I wish I was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right? The splits?
Sport. Yeah, man, it's amazing. See, Weatherford can do the splits.
Can he really?
Full splits.
That doesn't surprise me. Weatherford's an animal.
He's a punter. He's like so jacked and just, boom, can punt it's true, split huh? it. It's crazy.
What a beast.
Okay, so meditate, work out.
Yep, definitely. And then it would be set up my day to where I have at least an hour blocked off for creative, whether it's reading, whether it's setting up things that I want to come to fruition, how I'm going to do that. And then there's the execution part of the day. But also I think that for me, it's also, there's a strategy that goes into content in what I want to push out and what is it honing in on really what the message is. I want that to be, and all of my content being that, like, I want to have fun with things. I want to have fun in fitness. I want to find new opportunities to give people out there to be successful in their lives with health and fitness. And then, you know, again, coming back to probably dating and probably having the time to shut things off, because you need that.
It's tough, man.
You do.
It's tough to shut it off. When it's our brand, it's our business.
When you work from home,
it's full time. It's hard to not. I forget what day it is a lot of the time. I forget like if it's the weekend or a Tuesday. Like none of the days matter.
Right. You're doing the same thing.
I'm just focused on the vision. You know, there's no turnoff. So there's no happy hour. There's no weekends.
Right. And so how do you man? I mean, I look up to you with that kind of with a lot of stuff. But like, you know, you as a guy who's being successful with your own brand, how do you do that?
Well, being in a relationship actually helps because whenever she's around, I put the phone to the side. Like the phone is not in the conversation, except for maybe if we're like talking about something, we look something up together. But otherwise, the phone will be in the other room or it'll be off.
That's huge.
Like I'll give her the time to just be present because we only hang out a few days a week because she's busy with her career and everything. So
that time is meaningful.
That allows me to shut off and connect. And it doesn't mean my mind is still racing sometimes. I'm thinking about things. I'm still like, I'll get antsy and I want to go like create right then because I got an idea. But that helps. Also, scheduling my day, and make sure in the mornings I schedule time to work out. That's in the calendar. I think if it's not in the calendar, that time, that free time, you'll book it with something else for a meeting or business or whatever.
And how do you say no to are you good at that?
I like to say yes to a lot of things, but I'm getting pretty good. I'm getting better at saying no. I say no a lot more now than I did. And the way I say no is by putting my vision first and saying, okay, every 3 months we've got a big product launch, we've got something. So I know that I don't have much downtime. I've got to put my energy into my vision and our team vision of what we're creating. So I'm just like, hey, guys, I'm sorry I can't do the interview right now because this is what I'm focusing on. And my team said no interviews. You know, I can put it on my team sometimes if I need to. But it's and then if people want something bad enough, I'm like, come back to me in 6 months. Like, ask me again in 6 months. And if they really want it and they're persistent and they follow up on that day or whatever, and then I'm like, well, you know what? It's still not a good time. Follow up in 6 months. Like, I'll do it after a few times. So if they show that they really care and they're thoughtful and they're patient, then I'm like, this is a good, you know.
Those are the people you want to be associated with.
I'm happy to give them 30 minutes to interview. I'm happy to whatever, jump on the phone, whatever it may be, you know, take a meeting, something like that. But I usually say no to everything up front unless it's serving my vision.
Gotcha.
So that's how I do it. Plus, my assistant is good at like saying no to a lot of stuff for me. I'll just ask her, should I do this, yes or no? And she's like, no.
That's a voice. That's a person I need in my life.
I want to say yes. I want to please everyone too. I'm a people. I want to be accepted. I want to be liked, you know, all these things. So it's an art, you know, it's a dance. But that's where it's at right now.
And for your schedule, do you is everything like, you know, for me, I'm learning different ways to keep calendar. Do you guys do like in your phone or?
It's all on my phone. And, okay. And my assistant will also just text me when things are coming up and I'll look the night before what's happening tomorrow and kind of get an idea of what's going on. So
these are all things I'm interested in.
Yeah, of course.
The ways people are doing things. So
I want to ask a few questions to wrap it up. I want to talk about branding first and how you built this following, because I think people will be interested. There's a lot of coaches who listen, entrepreneurs who are launching businesses, but they don't have an audience. And you've built, what do you have, over a million on Instagram, 500,000 on YouTube, mm-hmm. What's Facebook at for you?
About 800,000.
Okay, so you got a few million all over the place, right? Snapchat, you get 100,000 views. Oh, well, you haven't broken it yet.
I haven't.
99,000 Snapchat views a video. So you've built this incredible loyal following and this audience all around the world. What would you say are some, you know, 3 to 5 things that help you build your following, keep your following engaged, but also so it doesn't run your life?
Right. I think in order getting to the how to build your following, it's I think being something, obviously you have to be something different. You have to have your niche. What is it? Why are people going to follow you? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's going to be the way you look. Unfortunately, in this world, it is oftentimes initially the reason why people follow you is just judging a book by its cover.
Or the design of your site, follow your design.
Yep. The design of, just how aesthetically pleasing it is, your brand. And then I also think that from that.
So you think design is important, investing in design, quality design.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And also your message. What is your message? And that's going to turn some people off maybe, but I think that as long as it's really what you're about, then you have passion for it. If your message is really something that you believe in and you have passion, when you have that excitement for something that you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're ridiculously excited about it, like willing to wake up super freaking early, that's contagious. And that's one thing that I've learned that whenever, you know, when I was excited to step on stage, the audience, the crowd, people, that's a contagious thing. That's like it's tangible when it's there. And you'll naturally attract other people that are passionate for that.
Or who want that.
Right.
Early mentor of mine said that the world makes room for passionate people.
100%.
It's so true. When you are passionate and show up that way, people want to be around it. They're attracted. It's like a magnet. You know what I mean? So,
and when you're passionate, you don't notice the hours. You don't notice that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you've been doing it for 4 years. Time's gone by like
12 hours a day.
Yeah. Right? Time's gone by and you're just like, I'm here because I love it. And even if I didn't get paid or even if I wasn't, you know, I can't imagine doing anything else. And I think that's a big time. It's you know, for me, it was scary. Instead of going and doing chiropractic stuff, I took a job.
The secure way.
Yeah. I took a job as a waiter still because I wanted to travel around the world with Optum because I saw an opportunity there. They weren't paying me much, $500 a month. That's not enough to live on. So I said, you know, I had my college degree, and instead of trying to go the corporate world or going back to school, I said, I think I this is what I'm passionate about. I'm going to invest my time I'm not going to get paid for it.
Right.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to shake every person's hand in line at an expo. I'm going to give each person a hug. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to make that person remember me by the way I treated them. And that passion then grew. And I think that people felt that energy. It's tangible when you're there at an expo and you can sit down and look somebody in the eyes and truly care about them, what they're doing. And you can't fake that. You either have that or you don't. And there's been times in my life that I haven't had passion for it. And I feel like that's when I have to come back and am I giving away too much of my time? Am I burnt out? But definitely when you have that passion for something.
I think that's a great thing that you just said about, you know, for 5 years, you went to expos once a month at least, sometimes more. For 5 years, saw hundreds if not thousands of people that you shook hands at every event, built a relationship with. Connecting with them one-on-one, you know, gave them 10 seconds of eye contact, goes a long way, taking a photo, whatever it may be. And you showed up every year for 5, 6+ years doing this. And I think people don't realize that, how powerful that is. When I first started out, I went to trade shows every month as well in the marketing business world, entrepreneur world, and did the same thing. Found the mentors, found influencers, connected with them, gave them value. And I started hosting events all around the country, networking events. And I shook everyone's hand and showed up, always followed up via email. I was just like in service. And I didn't have a following then. But that level of dedication and consistency over 5+ years is what kickstarts your brand following. And I think people want it quicker. They don't want to do the work of connecting with people. They want to be behind the screen. They want to be just on Instagram and Facebook and hack the system.
Right.
But if you really want to build a loyal following
and a brand that's long lasting,
is you got to connect with people in person. I believe too.
I agree 100%. And that is, and again, it's connect. You can't do an expo for 8 to 10 hours a day on your feet and not truly love people.
You've got to love people.
You do. Like, you can't fake that. And again, you're going to be exhausted after it. And, you know, there's sacrifices that you have to be made. But again, at the end of the day, you feel like you're doing what you want to do. You feel like you're giving value to people around you. And that's a huge, like, for me, I'm like, oh, this feels good. So I was doing it, you know, for myself as well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And maybe for some people who are very introverted, that's not going to work for them. But you've got to develop, you've got to offer something of so much value that you're able to reach people, whether it's an app or a tool or a website that's just so valuable for people that you don't have to meet them in person, but right. You can get it in front of them somehow.
And I think even introverts, you know, are there's something that comes from, you could be introverted, but you can generally care. And the way you show that you care might be different from introvert to extrovert. You know, you might not be this loud, boisterous YouTube character, but you can put your time in someplace else that makes you super valuable.
Yeah. This question is called The Three Truths. It's one of the three questions.
Steve mentioned this one.
Okay. So this is the last day for you many years from now.
Okay.
And all your videos and content has been erased from time. There's no Instagram photos of you left. No comments of anything. And you get to write down on a piece of paper the three things that you know to be true about everything you've learned in life that you would pass on to everyone else. Gotcha. This is the only message they'll ever see from you ever again.
Gotcha.
What are your three truths?
I definitely think the first one and most important for me is be happy today. So the thing in our society, I'll be happy when I make $1 million. I'll be happy when I have 1 million Instagram followers. I'll be happy when. If you're not happy now, you'll never be happy. Mm. If you're not, and again, there's a difference between being content. Like, you know, I'm not going to just sit back, kick my feet up, and all of a sudden think, you know, I've made it. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about enjoying that daily struggle. If you don't find things in your life to be positive about today, then you will never find those things. And that to me is the first and foremost. Every time I feel myself starting to think, you know, I start thinking crappy. In LA, you know, this happens because there's always somebody who's better looking, you know, more money or has a better, you know, this
bigger
or that. Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah.
There's that. It's just, so it's human nature and it's the world that we live in today to teach you, you know, you don't have enough. And not having enough starts making people feel like they're not good enough. And then not being good enough starts creating the sense of unhappiness. So I think it's about finding something every day to be grateful for and to be happy for. And then all of a sudden you're already living that. You've already made it, but you know, you want to give that, you want to continue that. So you keep on pushing.
Sure. Okay. That's number one.
That's number one. Number two, I would say human beings are not designed to be alone. So whether it's family, friends, there was I might be wrong with some of the details, but I mean, I want to say it was Italy, and they noticed the people in this village were living extremely long.
I think it's Asia. I think there's a documentary called Happy or something.
Yeah, and this could be Japan, but yeah.
Different areas.
What it was is these people were living extremely long lives, and they looked at it as to why, and diet, everything being equal to some of these other communities, it was they had core family and they stayed together. Sometimes they even lived together with family. They had people
in the city. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So your tight-knit community, the people that truly loved and cared about you, were in your life every day, supporting, and you gave that support. That, I think, creates a sense of love, secure, and ultimately happiness and health. So, and again, there's times in your life that you're not going to be comfortable and you shouldn't be comfortable, but knowing that you have people that love and accept you, that acceptance, I think, is huge. So you're not designed to, you know, us as humans are not designed to be
isolated.
Yeah. And I think that for me, I've in my life, I've felt like I could do things on my own. And looking back now, I know that that is not the case.
It's exhausting, too.
It is exhausting. It
okay. Is. So humans are meant to be connected.
And then
and
I think
and then number three.
The last one is just serve as much as you can. Serve other people as much as you can if you want to grow something. If you want to be successful and be content in life, you know, and I know that sounds cliche to serve people, but I really do think that the times that, you know, I start feeling bad about myself is when I'm thinking about myself. Like, you know, you get caught up in your own thoughts and you get caught up in your own, like, you know, what you do and don't have. But when you all of a sudden turn that off and try to make someone else's life genuinely better, there's something that happens when you work your butt off and it's for a bigger cause or for someone else. And you might not even know that person, but giving them and genuinely liking doing it. Like, you're not doing it because you have to. You're doing it because you see somebody out there needing help. And it's really it makes you feel good. So maybe it's a selfish thing ultimately because it's still making you feel good, but you're serving other people and the times that, you know, and that's why competition stuff was hard for me because it was all about me. So
right.
those are my three.
I like them, man. They're great. Before I ask the final question, where should we connect with you? What is your favorite place to connect online? What's your website?
Okay.
Give it to us.
Yeah. So my favorite place to connect with people, interacting with people right now, it's Instagram and Snapchat.
Yeah.
Those are just the easiest place. You very user friendly.
And what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is just Steve Cook.
And then Snapchat.
Snapchat is Steve Cook Health.
Okay.
You know, Instagram's great. I'm finding, you know, I feel less engaged with Instagram because it's so picture. So it's like, I'm trying to, I don't know. Instagram's fun, but there's a point to where Instagram's, you post a picture on Instagram and you might go back and check how many likes. When was the last time? Like, you know, I think about as a million, with a million followers, I'm thinking about more what I'm posting rather than I post what I want. Like, I want people to like it. And I check the likes and things like that.
Right.
So Instagram, you get this like immediate feedback if people like your shit or they don't.
Right.
And sometimes you're like, oh, like, I'm not going to post this picture even though I really like this and it's meaningful.
It's not going to get a lot of likes.
Yeah. And I don't like that aspect of Instagram.
Yeah.
Whereas Twitter, you know, you're just interacting with people.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of great interaction that goes on there. My website is stevecookhealth.com. You know, recently we've been doing this big program. Big is a program I came up with two exercise physiology guys. They're both one I grew up knowing, played football against in high school. He played at Utah State.
Did I read he had 48 reps in the 225 bench press?
Strongest.
48 reps?
I hit 36 and I thought
that's insane, dude. I've done like 16 in my prime, you know.
So this
48.
Jake is insanely strong. And strongest natural person I've ever met in my life. And I can say that with 100% certainty that he's just freaky. Yeah. So he's got his master's degree in exercise physiology, messes around with CrossFit just because he's stupid strong and he's good at it. But he's like, he looks like a bodybuilder out there. He's as strong as a powerlifter and he's an amazing guy. The other one is Mike Casial. He's a guy that is, from Louisiana, has a really cool story, was into drugs as a kid, kind of came about that, you know, he got through that through, you know, he actually lived in Utah for a while doing this, you know, they ship kids off to Utah and he's doing these outdoor camps. He got through that, went to college, you know, straightened out his life. Amazing story. Again, exercise physiology, master's degree. And did this program with him with Big. So I do the bodybuilding side of things, the aesthetic side of things. They bring their expertise on how to get stronger, bigger, and faster. So it's a program that's really designed to kind of come at it from all areas. So that's been really fun to do, seeing people just doing amazing changes. People can find that on the website there.
What's this other physique thing, the video that I saw?
The Modern Physique. Now, that's a program that I did for bodybuilding.com.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a mini big program. It's kind of more cookie cutter. It's one size fits all because, you know, we can't change things up because once it goes on bodybuilding.com, it lives there. But that was a cool thing. Bodybuilding.com, they have a great production team. It's always fun working with them because they just get, you know, lots of young kids trafficking to their site to buy supplements and that free content. And it's nice because it's free.
That's cool.
But, so that's my social media.
Man.
I like engaging with people on there. And then, of course, expos, lots of expos.
So if you're at the next expo.
Yeah.
Come give you a hug.
Yeah. Next expo, Olympia, Las Vegas, Nevada.
There you go.
The Olympia.
There you go. So stevecookhealth.com is the main site to go follow everything, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to take a moment to acknowledge you, Steve, for not being a douche.
Oh, appreciate it.
No, but seriously, I want to acknowledge you for, man, you went through a lot of challenges. You know, you went through a lot of challenges of losing your identity in sports, which I can relate to jumping to a marriage early on. And then I can only imagine the uncomfortableness, the guilt, the shame, the uncertainty, the unworthiness, or whatever feelings you had going through that. I can only imagine how challenging at a young age to experience that. And then to come out and better yourself and say, how can I be a better man? How can I serve? How can I give? And, you know, to connect with you more, it's been a pleasure, man. And I really want to acknowledge you for your gift of sincerity and being an authentic, real man in this world.
I appreciate that. That was, you know, Steve Weatherford mentioned you build people up. And I got to say, I feel extremely grateful for you having me on the show, but also like, I definitely appreciate what you're doing. And, yeah, thank you for having me on this.
Of course, man.
It was a good time, good opportunity.
Of course. One final question.
Okay.
What's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness. I think my definition of greatness would be doing something that other people might not agree with all the time, but believing in it and then ultimately succeeding at it. And that to me is true greatness. Like something you shouldn't necessarily succeed at, but through perseverance, through just hard work and believing and passion, you do that and overcome those trials. That is true greatness. So I feel like, you know, there's so many people out there that are doing that and not getting recognition for it. In our day and age, so, you know, the people that are doing really true greatness might not be the people that have the most followers on Instagram. They might be the quiet, humble leaders that are doing it in the communities and things like that. So I think, you know, for people out there listening, you know, try to attach yourself with things that matter and aren't just getting a lot of, you know, play, because our media, especially social media and media, especially tends to focus on the bad in this life. But, you know, there's so much good out there you know, celebrate that.
The legend of Steve Cook.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
All right. We broed out. We talked about vulnerability. We talked about masculinity. We talked about how to get big. We talked about building a bigger business. We talked about so much. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with your friends. LewisHowes.com/359. Make sure to tweet Steve and connect with him on Facebook and Instagram and tag me and Steve on Twitter and Facebook to let us know what you thought of this. Share your thoughts, connect, and follow along the journey. We do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so if this is your first time on the School of Greatness podcast, then make sure to click the subscribe button over on iTunes or the podcast app on your phone, and stay tuned, because each week we've got inspiring guests, interviews, and insights. And coming up next week, we've got the legendary Larry King. That's right, Larry King is live in my studio, and we're going to reveal some of his incredible stories, insights, and lessons from interviewing over 60,000 people. I am pumped to share with you this interview, so stay tuned for that. It's been awesome spending some time with you today. It means the world to me, and I will never take it for granted. I'm constantly doing my best to become a better host and to continue to produce this podcast at a higher level so that it brings you a wealth of information and you keep coming back. And with that, let me leave you with this. You know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.